Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me. As always, I have a great conversation in store for you. And as always, this is an opportunity for you to get empowered with truthful information so you can make the most informed decision possible regarding your health and well-being. I am excited to let you know that there are some great things happening in my world, and I would invite everyone to go to my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, and like me over there, or go to my website, which is drcherylselman.com, and opt in over on that place, because I will send you the archives of all my shows and ongoing information and education to support my community. And I hope if you're listening for the very first time, you'll be joining me on this journey to greater health and wellness. And I think we're just going to jump into a great conversation because we're going to be talking about how to regenerate, rejuvenate, and create healthy skin. Always a great topic with my very special guest today, Benjamin Fuchs. And I want to just tell you a little bit about Ben. He's a registered pharmacist, nutritionist, and cosmetic chemist who has been compounding custom medication, formulating nutritional and skincare products, and consulting with doctors and patients. And Ben is an accomplished speaker and for the past 22 years has been lecturing nationwide on the benefits and importance of the strategic use of cosmetics and nutritional supplementation for healthy skin and bodies. He believes that all chronic diseases are sustained by a generic foundation of bodily breakdowns he calls the triangle of disease that can be leveraged to reverse degenerative illnesses. Ben is recognized nationally for his work as the on-air pharmacist nutritionist host of the Bright Side radio program and has been a guest on numerous alternative health radio programs. Most recently, he's put the finishing on an innovative skin health strategy developed in his compounding pharmacy called Truth Treatments that leverage the skin's inherent biochemistry to heal and beauty the body's largest organ. Wow. Well, we can't wait to have you, Ben. This is such a great topic. So, first of all, hello and welcome to What Women Must Know. It's a pleasure having you, Ben.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and thank you for the wonderful introduction. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, you are certainly accomplished, and what I love about you in our brief conversation before we started the show is your energy and passion and excitement for what you do, and I'm sure it's
oh, yeah.
for life. And
goodness,
I feel
yeah.
that life force. You just radiate it. So I'm just thrilled that
funny.
You're on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm very grateful and honored to be on the show. And it's I meditate. I love meditating. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do. And I have this one little meditation thing that I do where I picture myself either dead or dying in my deathbed. And I picture how I would be like, I wish I had one more day. No matter how bad your life is, right? If somebody stuck a gun to your head, you'd want to stay. It's like there's this deliciousness about life that we understand at a fundamental level, but it gets covered up by our strife and our stresses and our survival needs and all of the angst and turmoil and storm and drang that we is programmed into us from the time we're born. But underneath it all, we love to be alive. We just have to tap into it. And one of the best ways to tap into it is to picture yourself not alive or picture yourself on the brink of not being alive.
So when you picture yourself on that brink, it makes you more passionate.
Yeah.
For the fact that you're on the other side. You're on this side.
Well, I remember that. I do. It's like funny because usually I have that, but every once in a while, something happens and I forget. And so on a daily basis, I remind myself. But I'm fortunate, very blessed. And, I don't take it for granted that I do have a great life. I'm healthy. I have a message that's well received. I have a purpose, a raison d'etre. You know, that's what's missing, I believe, in people's lives when they don't feel fulfilled, is there's no raison d'être. You know, there's no reason for existing.
Right.
You have to have that, idea that there's a function, that you're here for a purpose. And even if it's your kids or even if it's, your dog, it could be anything, really. It doesn't have to be some grand world-changing mission. It could be something as simple as taking care of your kids or your mother or your pet. So, but to have a purpose in your life is so critically important. And I've been blessed in that not only have I found my purpose, and I've had it for a long time, but it's a purpose that's helping people and it's making a difference in the world. And so when I go to bed at night, every night, I know that I did something positive for the world. I know I helped at least one person. And that's, and I'm not saying I'm great for doing that. Anybody can do it. In fact, we all should do it. Imagine if everybody had that mission that I'm going to make the world a better place today. Every human being, every one of the 7 billion human beings on the planet, or 8 billion, said, I'm going to make the world a better place today. What kind of planet could we have? This is what our potential is. As a human species on planet Earth, that's our potential, simply by every person making that commitment every day.
And I would go so far as to say that if people had that attitude that you're expressing right now, that's the most important vitamin a person could be taking.
Absolutely.
It's that
attitude,
absolutely. Right?
Yeah, haven't you found this in your practice? I know you have, where somebody says, I'm taking all the vitamins you told me, I'm taking all the supplements, I'm off of gluten, but I still can't get rid of this thing, you know, this rash or this headache or, you know, this angst, this physical angst of some kind. And don't you find that there's always something percolating underneath that's not physical, that's mental, emotional, or even spiritual underneath it all? Or when they plateau, have you experienced this in your practice where somebody just plateaus, they get better right away? You know, you put them on a program, you get them on a supplement program or diet or whatever it is, and they get better right away, their blood pressure drops, and, you know, they're starting to feel better, and then they plateau. They stay at the same place, and they can't get over that hump. What I found in my practice is that there's always something percolating underneath that's not physical, that's spiritual, mental, or emotional. I think that's the missing link in healthcare, is we focus on the physical, and you're a naturopath, so I'm not really – naturopaths understand these other dimensions, because they don't get to do, you know, drugs and the surgeries that doctors do. So they're seeing these other alternative routes. But the mainstream medical model, and unfortunately most people who buy into the mainstream medical model, they're so focused on the physical, they miss really where our deepest power lies, which is in the ineffable, invisible levels, the parts you don't see, which are the spiritual and the physical, the mental and the emotional levels.
Well, I have to totally agree, because before I was a naturopath, and I was a psychotherapist and a mind-body approach, so
of
I
course,
did a lot, many, many years understanding getting to the wounds that we carry,
yes.
And spiritual practices combined, it gives me that holistic perception that we have to heal on all these levels, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, for true healing, You just can't
take
a pill, right?
Have you heard of the ACEs study, the Adverse Childhood Experiences study? It's called the ACEs study. It's a longitudinal.
It sounds familiar,
study.
But let's.
Well, they link chronic disease. Yeah. They link. Not only do they link chronic diseases. Not only chronic diseases have been linked to adverse childhood experiences, but get this: accidents, people who are accident prone, things that don't seem like that they would be connected to anything you're doing, are also connected to adverse childhood experiences, are also related to adverse childhood experiences. Isn't that interesting? Not just physical, not just diseases, which kind of makes sense, but even just accidents are linked to that. And I believe we get programmed at that level that the world's not okay. You know, when we come out of the womb, something very interesting happens. You know how they, in the religion, they talk about original sin, right? You've heard the term original sin, obviously. So when we come out of the womb, something very interesting happens. We go from a state of wholeness to a state of fragmentation, to a state of separation, if you will. We're in the womb, we're unified with the life force. We're unified with everything we need. We're connected, literally, physiologically connected, obviously, in the womb. And then immediately we come out of the birth canal, and the first thing that happens is we see this other. We see us and other. Even though we're not conscious of it, there's a need that's coming from the outside in. And so all of a sudden we go into separation. Now, in Latin, the word sin means separation. It means you don't have it. It means without. Right? S-I-N is Latin for without. So immediately we go into this sense of without. This is what original sin is to me. And what it shows up, how it shows up physiologically, I love that you're a psychotherapist, by the way, because you understand this connection, how it shows up the sense of the world is outside of me, how I may die if I don't somehow get what I need from the world, how my survival is at stake, manifests as activation of the sympathetic nervous system. and I know you know this, the sympathetic nervous system, your fight or flight nervous system, right? And then your parasympathetic nervous system is the antagonist of that. It's the balance or the opposing neurology. And that's the rest and digest nervous system. I'm being somewhat simplistic here. It's a little more complicated than that. But simplistically, you have your sympathetic and you have your parasympathetic. You have your survival and you have your thrival. Immediately you have this dichotomy when you come out of the womb. And this creates a situation where the body goes into this subconscious or preconscious survival mode. And from that point forward, for the rest of our lives, we see the world as being separate from us. And from that point in our lives, we see ourselves in this battle of, I have to get what I need. I don't have what I need. I have to get what I need. And unless you do work on yourself or you have very enlightened parents, or you have an enlightened culture that you've been born into, you don't. Not only do you not get over it, but the culture we've been born into and our parents are unfortunately perpetuate this sense of fear and survival and separation, and we go through our entire lives hypersympathetic and hypercortisol. And of course we're going to have cancer, and of course we're going to have chronic diseases, and of course we're going to have lousy relationships, and of course we're going to have wars, and we're going to have all the turmoil and all the strife that's in the world because we haven't gotten over this fundamental wounding. And in fact, there's actually a therapy, you may have heard of this, called rebirthing. Have you ever heard of rebirthing?
I used to be a trainer in rebirthing.
Oh my goodness! And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, of course. No wonder why you and I are getting along so. You probably laughed when I said that. You're probably cracking up to yourself.
Rebirthing. Yes, I'm familiar with that, Ben. brought rebirthing to Australia. One of the first people to train people.
Well, you know
in rebirthing.
Then you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? That rebirthing.
I know. Yes, I do.
The turmoil. The turmoil to come through the birth canal. This turmoil of coming through the birth canal. But the very idea, even after you're done with the birth canal, you go into this sense of the world is not okay. And most of us, you know, Thoreau said most men live lives of quiet desperation, right? And this is kind of how we live. Even though it's not on the outside, it's percolating underneath, this sense that I'm not okay, this sense that the world is not okay, this sense that I have to struggle to get what I want. And it's really just a sense. It's a perspective. And we can change that. We have to be reconditioned. We have to do work. And I'll tell you, I am one of the most refined people you'll ever meet because I'm like white bread. I've been working on myself for years, and I work on myself every day, every morning, every day, literally, I work on myself. And that's what you have to do. You have to be committed to doing that because the world has a gravitational pull that will suck you in like a black hole, and it's impossible to get around. We live in the world. We live in this world that has been created this way, and it's almost like this is our chrysalis, you know, like our cocoon. And just like a butterfly goes into caterpillar goes into a cocoon and becomes a butterfly, this is our cocoon. We're learning to become a butterfly, I believe. This is my perspective. I believe we're learning to become a butterfly. And we're doing this. We can do this. We can become a butterfly, but it requires the same kind of work that a caterpillar has to do to become a butterfly. You know, the caterpillar gets dissolved before it becomes a butterfly. There's nothing left of it. It's like pulverized.
Right.
It becomes liquefied, right? There's no caterpillar left. There's not a speck of a caterpillar. In fact, the cells that make up the liquid, you know what they call them? You probably do. I'm sure you do. They're called imaginal cells. And this is to point to the nature of the imagination. This is what we have to do. We have to imagine. Magic is like magic. We have to imagine what we want. We have to see it. We have to use our senses to really live in it in a reality that precedes the physical reality. And that involves imagination, and that involves all the things we talked about earlier, the invisible places where the visible shows up from. It's like the visible precipitates from the invisible. And that's the key, is to work at the invisible levels. And our culture teaches us not to even focus on that, because if any mainstream person heard me talking right now, they would think that I was crazy. Maybe not as bad as 20 years ago because it's getting better, but a lot of them would think, oh, that Ben, he's been smoking too much pot, or he's been doing, you know, he's been doing crazy stuff, right? Because this sounds so crazy that the visible world comes from the invisible. Yet we know, and this is where, to take it back to skincare, healing is quantum. the body is quantum. What does this mean? The body is in a state of superposition, and it's most fundamentally electronic. And it's pre-electronic through consciousness. And this is what quantum teaches us, is that consciousness controls the world to the extent that the world is consciousness. And even physics now is recognizing information, that the universe is information. Have you heard this? This is the latest idea,
mm-hmm.
that the universe is mm-hmm. information. And information is really what how the invisible world gets structured. The first place information, the word information means information, right? It's the invisible world taking a form. And the first place the invisible world takes a form is as information. And then it becomes from information, the fundamental level of information is mathematics, right? That's the first place we can describe information is mathematics. And then it goes into physics. And then it goes into biology. And that's where we work at the biological level. But unfortunately, we're already three levels down by the time we're in biology. So if you really want to do it, you got to do it at the first level or the second level, which is information and consciousness. And that's not airy-fairy. That's just physics, right?
And that, I have to jump in because what you're saying is so fascinating. What I've been learning, especially from Dr. Jack Cruz, who I've had on my show several times, he's been a huge
Jack is wonderful.
Because, right? So
I love
he
Jack.
Has,
love Jack.
What I've learned from Jack is everything you're talking about, the information that communicates to all physical beings is from the sun. And when we are able to watch the sunrise, for instance, that's a big part of it. And without sunglasses on, and we let
Correct.
that energy, that the natural electromagnetic field of the sun enter in through the eyes, which then gets communicated into the brain and all the circadian rhythms of our body. We are getting information to support optimal functioning of our body, and that
well,
to me is really fascinating.
The ancients believed the sun was God. The sun was God to the ancient people. In fact, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And Jesus is known as what? The Son of God. They call it S-O-N, but it could easily be S-U-N. So the sun is everything. Dr. Cheryl, the world we see, look around you. I don't know where you are. You're in your office. You have a computer. You have a desk. You have books. Whatever you have in your office, right? Everything you see is nothing but light, pure and simple light. Where is that light coming from? The sun. Everything you see is the sun. Everything. You understand what I'm saying?
The pen you're holding
in your hand is the sun. Yes.
So this is a great place to start our conversation about the skin and health, because I am presently in Australia, as you know. And Australia is totally sunphobic. They have a strong belief that the sun is really harmful. So when you go to the beach, you see these little kids dressed in shirts all the way down to their wrists, and they have big hats on, and sometimes they have swimsuits. These are swimsuits that, cover their entire upper body and often down to their legs. And everyone splashes themselves with sunscreen all the time. So it's a culture that is terrified of the sun. And Australia gets more sun than any other continent in the world. And yet they have high rates of skin cancers, even though they're sunphobic. What? Give me some understanding about what's really
there's so much cancers
and melanomas.
Listen, there's so much to unpack with what you just said. And we could do, we're already well into our program here. And I could talk forever on it, but what you said is so loaded with – it's almost like a poster child for everything that's wrong with our world in general and how we take care of our bodies and our health in specific. Everything you said here, I'll tell you why. You know, when I don't know anything – I don't know a lot about Satanism or the devil worship or anything, but I know they like to take Christian symbols and turn them upside down, right? That's like a symbol, a way of recognizing the dark side. You take the light side and you turn it upside down. Right? Well, nothing exemplifies turning the truth upside down than what you just said about the sun. If we recognize that the sun is everything, and now we've demonized it, what we've done, we've turned, we, we turned God upside down. Does that make sense? You follow what I'm saying? We've turned all the good and right in the world into something that's demonic and satanic. This is the very essence of evil, which is the back, which is the backwards of live, which is live in reverse. Mm-hmm. L-I-V-E in reverse is evil. Do you understand? It's life in reverse. And we live in a world that is structured that way. It's not inevitable. We can wake up out of this trance, absolutely, but we've been hypnotized to believe up is down on every level. And I know you know this because you're a naturopath. You confront it every day, Dr. Salmon. You see every day how the truth has been not just denied, not just blocked, but turned upside down. So we live in mirror world. Everything we think is good is bad. You follow what I'm saying? That's how you, what you just said was, and that's in the biggest picture. That's the big picture. So I say there's so much to unpack. So the big picture, what you're representing or what you're describing, is a situation where the light has been turned into the dark. The good force, the light force, has been turned into the dark force. That's in a big thematic way, what you just said. But there's also specifics in what you just said. The skin, get this now, check this out. I know you understand this. The skin is a solar energy transducer. It turns the sun into biological energy. We are solar beings. We're a solar panel, and it's the skin and molecules in the skin, including cholesterol, which is another example of a demonization of something that's good. You know, there's so many levels of this. Cholesterol is one of the most – it is the most important molecule in your body, arguably. And it, one of its roles is to transduce the sun, to turn the sun into biological energy via – and Dr. Cruz talks about this, actually, via sulfur and cholesterol and ATP in the body. There are mechanisms in the skin that turn the sun into energy. So what do? Not only do we demonize the sun and stay out of the sun and are afraid of the sun, we wear sunglasses. And then we wear sunglasses that blocks the energy from getting into our brain. That completely changes your brain chemistry, including involving melatonin and serotonin and DMT and the pineal gland, which is the seat of consciousness. But even on the skin, what do? We wear a sunscreen. What does a sunscreen do? It changes the energy of the sun so it no longer has the ability to drive your body. And it selectively picks the ray, the UVB ray, that's responsible for most of the salubrious benefits. And bonus, as if that wasn't bad enough, bonus, you now stick crap on your skin that is biochemically active and that is associated with internal diseases, including cancer. And I'm talking about preservatives, and I'm talking about sunscreens. You know, I had a pharmacy where I had to compound medication for people, and I used to get prescriptions for sunscreens, right? So I had to use sunscreens in my pharmacy because I had to compound sunscreens, which I hated doing. I'd wear gloves when I was compounding a sunscreen because they're toxic. You know what? On the sunscreen bottle, when it came from the chemical factory or the chemical supplier, it would have a skull and crossbones on it, and it would say, "Do not ingest." Mm-hmm. And if I did ingest it, the same stuff you're rubbing on your baby, the same stuff you're rubbing on yourself, not you, but, you know, people, if I did ingest it, I would die or I'd have to get my stomach pumped. And we're rubbing that on. And not only rubbing it on, Doc, not only rubbing it on, but under the guidance of the medical model, we are slathering it on. They tell you don't use a little bit. They tell you use a lot. This is how ignorant we are when it comes to understanding our body and in general, and specifically the skin. The skin is so misunderstood. It's so misunderstood. We look at the skin, and I've been studying the skin for a long time, so you know I know what the skin, how the skin is architected. It's histology. But I wonder sometimes, what does the average person think of when they see the skin? You know, what is – and it's hard for me and you because we're, you know, we understand anatomy and biology and the way the body's structured, but what do you think the average person must think of when they see the skin? They think it's – I don't know. I don't know what the average person thinks. And I've asked people, and they don't know either. Nobody can describe what the skin is to them. It's a thing that covers your body. That's the best you can get. But it's not a thing that covers your body. It is a multi-layered, incredibly complex universe of biochemistry and biology and molecular chemistry that is so staggering that if you were to shrink yourself down into a into a molecule to fit yourself into that level, you would, it would be impossible for you to know what was going on. Things would be whizzing by you every which way. There's so many components inside the body. It's like the complexity of a Boeing 747 multiplied exponentially in every square inch of skin. There's so much detail and so much complexity. And luckily, we don't have to think about it. We don't, because it's happening, you know, it heals and it grows and it divides and it fights disease. It does everything on its own. But we have to at least respect it. And this is the key. And this is why I started my company. This is why I do what I do. It's a question of respect. You know, we call it, we say that the skin is the body's what? Largest organ, right? So we all hear that a million times. The body, skin is the body's largest organ, blah, 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 blah. It's an organ. It is a complex organ. It is a finely tuned and tightly regulated and divinely choreographed organ, which is so much happening inside of it. We want to honor it. We don't need to understand it all. We just want to be respectful, and at the least be respectful, but at the most be in awe of it, just blown away by it. And luckily, you know, today you have these YouTube videos that you can get. You can get YouTubes of, like, the scientific – have you ever seen these detailed scientific kind of motion animations on YouTube of biology and biological substances and cell biology? It's really quite amazing what they can do, what they can model with computers. And I encourage everybody to do that with the skin and do that with cells and see what's going on in there. It's so complex and it's so deep. And the idea that you can just rub something on the surface and be better off for it is ridiculous. As far as skin cancer goes, it's so important. Well, let me just say this one last thing. Let me say one last thing.
Yeah.
Let me say one last thing because you brought up about cancer. You know, what's the operative word in skin cancer? Not skin. It's cancer. Cancer is cancer is cancer, and it doesn't matter if it's on the skin, and it doesn't matter if it's on the breast, in the breast or the thyroid or anywhere else. It's cancer. And guess what? There's no such thing as skin cancer. There's no such thing as breast cancer. There's no such thing as prostate cancer. There's no such thing as thyroid or liver or any other organ cancer you want to name. You know what I'm saying? That sounds weird,
yeah.
Right? Well, check this out. There's prostate cell cancer. There's breast cell cancer. There's thyroid cell cancer. There's skin cell cancer. It's about the cell. It's not about the organ. And the reason the medical model misses the boat and why they're a complete failure, utter and complete failure when it comes to treating chronic disease, even though they get an A-plus when it comes to surgeries or when it comes to emergencies, we'll say, heroic medicine. They get an A-plus for that, and God loves some of these people who are saving lives that way. But for chronic disease states, they get an F-minus, not an F, an F-minus. They get the lowest grade you could possibly get because they don't address the cell. And the reason they don't address the cell is because they can't address the cell. They can only eradicate the cell. They can excise the cell. They can electrocute the cell. They can radiate the cell. They can poison the cell, but they cannot heal the cell because the cell doesn't pay attention to the doctor. The cell pays attention to God. And by that I mean it needs food, it needs oxygen, and it needs a clean place to do its business. And these are all divinely mandated if we take care of ourselves, if we breathe, if we eat correctly, and if we keep toxicity out of the body and support the detox system. Ironically, the medical model makes it even harder for the body to do its work, and this is why people, iatrogenic diseases, and I don't mean to rip on any of my doctor friends, but medically caused diseases are the leading cause of death because they don't address the cell, but it doesn't matter because we can. And I'm sorry I went off. I know you want to say something.
I want us to go back.
Yeah.
This is so informative, and I appreciate what you're sharing. And I want to go back to helping us to understand what is really generating skin cancers. It's a big concern where I am in Australia right now.
Yes.
And I think there's so much misinformation, and we're making inappropriate choices that we think are protecting us, or people think they're protecting themselves from skin cancers.
Yes.
But I think we need to get the story straight. So help us get the story straight.
Yes. Well, the sun is high energy. And if you input high energy on a destabilized system, the system can become more destabilized. You're amplifying the destabilization. the problem is the system, and by the system I mean the cell and the matrix that it's embedded in, because they're one basically. The cell is embedded in a matrix, and the cell and I talk about it as two separate parts, but they're essentially one. There's really no place the cell ends and the matrix begins. So it's more like descriptive than it is actual. So you have the cell and you have the matrix. When the cell and the matrix become destabilized, the sun can trigger a reaction or cause a situation where cells die, and that's a good thing. Okay? When the sun triggers cellular stress, the sun is a stressor. It puts a lot of energy into the skin, into the body. It's like lifting weights. The cells will die. Now, this is how cancer begins. There's some kind of stressor in the body, on the body in terms of the sun, but in the body in terms of one of three things. There's only three things, by the way, that can go wrong with the cell to get it to turn cancer: starvation, suffocation, and toxification. The only three things. Now, on the outside of the body, you have the added element of the sun, which acts as a stressor. You could think of it like a toxin. Okay, it's a stressor and a toxin, but it's a double-edged sword, because it's also the source of your energy. Ultimately, everything we do, whether it's eating food or it's laying out in the sun, it's to get the energy from the sun. So you're depriving yourself of a powerful energy source, and the hormone system of the body is geared to respond beneficially to the sun. So you feel better when you're out in the sun. You eat less food when you're out in the sun. You know, you don't want to put too much stress, because that's too much. So you got to have that sweet spot, like any kind of stressor. The reason people get cancer is because the system is too unstable to handle the energy. So what you want to do is you want to stabilize the system so you can handle the energy. It's like if you just got out of the hospital, right? You're not going to sit there and lift weights. If you just got out of the hospital, you had major surgery and you can't move your body, are you going to jump up and down on a trampoline? Does that mean a trampoline is bad for you? No, it means your system is not strong enough to handle the trampoline. But what's your goal? It should be to get your body strong enough so you can jump on a trampoline, or so that you can lift weights or run or walk or whatever it is. The problem is not the trampoline. The problem is the system is destabilized because we're eating the wrong food. We're malnourished. We're not getting the right kind of nutrients. We're putting toxins into our body, and one of the worst is sugar. And the average American eats 180 pounds of it a year. I don't know what it is in Australia. And we're not breathing, and we're not oxygenated. And this becomes a vicious downward spiral of bodily disease, because when you're starving and you're suffocated and you're toxic, your body goes into an emergency mode of being, which further suppresses detoxification or toxifies the body, and further suppresses oxygenation, and further suppresses nutrition via the mechanism of inflammation. So you get cellular starvation from lack of nutrition. You get cellular suffocation from lack of respiration. You get cellular toxicity from an accumulation of poisons and toxins, plus inability to detoxify. This leads to a condition where the cells get sick and ultimately die, which leads to inflammation, microinflammation, which people don't even see. It's microscopic. It happens at the level of the cell. This microscopic inflammation leads to more starvation, because now nutrients cannot make it through the inflammatory barricade, the fibrosis that the inflammation induces, or that's a sign of the inflammation. And then oxygen cannot get through. And then toxins cannot get out. So guess what happens? You get more apoptosis or cellular death, and you get more inflammation. And guess what happens then? Less food, more starvation, suffocation, and toxification. And this is what most of us go through our whole lives, this continuing downward spiral of starvation, suffocation, and toxification, leading to inflammation, leading to more starvation and suffocation and toxification. And then all of a sudden, and I love this one, you're sitting on I get these calls all the time. You know, I do my radio show and I get calls, and people call me up and they say, I was just sitting on my couch watching TV and I got fibromyalgia. You know, I wasn't doing anything. Or, you know, I was just sitting there minding my own business and all of a sudden I got arthritis. You know, because we don't see this downward spiral of starvation, suffocation, inflammation, starvation, suffocation, and toxification, and inflammation, more starvation, suffocation, and toxification that takes, because we have trillions and trillions of cells, right? So when it happens to one cell, 10 cells, 100 cells, 1,000 cells, 100,000 cells, a million cells, you don't even notice it. But you reach that threshold, that critical threshold, It could be 10 billion cells, right, which is a fraction of what you have, a tiny amount, and all of a sudden you flip over into a state of loss of function or into a state of dysregulation, of biochemical dysregulation, or in a state of emergency. When it comes to cancer, a cancer cell, and when I said earlier, I didn't mean that to be glib. I meant this to be descriptive and very important because we don't see cancer for what it is, as a cellular phenomenon. A cancer cell is a cell that is at its wit's end. It doesn't know what to do. So it goes into a primitive way of operating, which is to be like a bacteria. A cancer cell is a eukaryote that is acting like a prokaryote. It's an advanced cell, which is called eukaryotes. I'm sure you know this. Animal cell, plant cell, fungal cell, these are eukaryotes. These are advanced cells. And it goes backwards in time, hundreds of millions of years ago. It goes into a time machine, and it becomes a prokaryote functionally, which means it loses its functionality. It loses its structure, its internal structure. It doesn't have the same ability to do things, and it becomes like a bacterial cell in terms of its division. It divides rapidly, and it utilizes glucose. It becomes a fermenter. It operates from a different way of being, which is very inefficient, and in order to survive, it has to divide really rapidly. And one of the greatest metaphors of all, it doesn't become an organ. Cancer cell is a cell that doesn't become an organ, like a bacteria. It doesn't – to be an organ, for a liver cell, a hepatocyte, to say, you know what, I'm not going to be a hepatocyte. I'm not going to be a cell. I'm going to be a liver cell. I'm going to give myself up, very Christian-like. I'm going to give up my life for the life of the liver. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It loses its individuality, and it becomes like an organ. A bacteria doesn't do that. A prokaryote doesn't do that. A prokaryote's a rogue. It's a sociopath. It takes all the energy and doesn't give anything back. Eukaryote, hepatocyte, it gives back. It gives itself up. It does this beautiful thing. A cancer cell is a cell that's like, you know what? I'm sick of this bull crap, okay? I haven't been fed. I haven't been oxygenated. I haven't been detoxified in years. Now, what's supposed to happen is that cell's supposed to die, and most of the time it does die. That's where we get that whole inflammatory cascade that I talked about earlier. Most of the time, a cell will die when it's under duress. But every once in a while, rarely actually, considering all the times, all the damage we do for most of us, rarely, relatively, it will flip over into this ancient way of being. And that's what we call a cancer cell. So what's the answer then? Right? Can you see how we're now demystifying cancer? Cancer is this mysterious thing. Doctors will say, oh, we don't know what causes cancer. It's genetic, la, la, la. Baloney. It's a cell that's been starved, it's been suffocated, and it's been toxic for long enough, especially the oxygenation part. That's probably the most fundamental, is the oxygen. And we know cancer cells handle oxygen completely differently, and we know the energy electronics of a cancer cell completely different. Dr. Otto Warburg, you probably know who he is. He talked about it 100 years ago. He talked about cancer being a cellular respiratory issue. So, and what you need to do for a cancer, whether you have it or whether you want to prevent it, is you need to do what you do for everything else. And that's the beautiful thing about understanding the cellular nature of disease. This is why I said I wasn't just making a joke. It's very important to recognize this. Because at the level, we have this saying on my radio program, right? Check this out. All disease is cell disease. All disease is cell disease. What this does now, when you really understand this, then you have to say, all you have to say is, well, if all disease is cell disease, what do I need to do for myself? How do I do it? And it's easy. It's simple, because if all disease is starvation, suffocation, and toxification leading to inflammation, leading to more starvation, suffocation, toxification, etc., then all you got to do is put the cell back in ease. How do you put the cell back in ease physiologically? You give it the food, i.e. nutrition, and there's not a lot of them. There's probably about, 85 different things, essential amino acids, essential fatty acids, and vitamins and minerals, basics, the basic nutrients, what we call micronutrients. You give it the micronutrients. You give it some glucose, you give it the oxygen, you keep the toxins out, and keep in mind that most of the food we eat is toxic. Prescription drugs are toxic. all kinds of toxins in our body. Sugar is one of the most toxic things you can put in your body, and that's it. And no matter what your health challenge is, no matter what it is, Dr. Selman, no matter whether it's autoimmunity, whether it's cancer, whether it's migraine headaches, whether it's feeling like crap, whether it's menopausal symptoms, whatever, I'm guaranteeing you and all your listeners, 100% guarantee, which you can never get from medicine, but I'm guaranteeing you this because it's not medicine, it's biology. If you do everything correctly, you will begin to feel better immediately within one day if you do it correctly, less than one day, depending on how bad off you are. And that's the beautiful thing. It verifies itself. Now, when it comes to cancer, the most important thing, and when it comes to all of this, but cancer is so, it's a switch that has been turned on. So it's a little bit different. It's not analog, it's digital. It's not like a dial that has like that's continuous. It's more like a clicker that goes on and off. Does that make sense? How I explain that? I hope that makes sense. Mm. It's not as smooth and continuous. It's more digital. So with cancer, you got to have an extra jolt of something, and that's belief and faith. You have to believe that you can do it. It's true about everything, but it's especially true with cancer because the switch has been turned. You have to drive the healing process. Can you hear me?
Did I lose you?
Yes. Okay. Yep.
I'll
for a minute. Yeah.
So you have to drive the healing process with faith and belief. And with cancer, if you have cancer, you have to use your powers of imagination and belief. It has to do with everything, but because of the digital nature, the on-off nature of the disease, you have to apply this element of belief and faith. I have a book here. It's a case textbook. It's case studies called Spontaneous Remissions from Cancer. And it's all about spontaneous remissions. And by spontaneous, I mean they can't figure out how the cancer remitted. You know, we all have cancer all the time, all the time. One of my favorite articles, I love to collect articles. One of my favorite articles is from the New York Times. I don't have it in front of me here, but it's from 2009. And it's a article from the New York Times, and it talks about cancer cells turning on and off for some unknown reason. By unknown reason means the medical model can't figure out why. But if you understand this idea that cells have an on-off switch for turning cancer on, you can understand that you can turn it off. But you have to have this element, if you have cancer, you have to have this element of belief because the system has already progressed. It's already gone down the path. But given that you have the belief strong enough, and given that you do everything correctly, and that's what I tell people who have cancer, by the way, you can begin to feel better immediately, and that should be your goal if you have cancer. Forget the diagnosis. Your diagnosis doesn't matter. It's another one of our little sayings on the Bright Side on my radio program. Your diagnosis doesn't matter. Your job is to feel better. Your job is to have more. Who cares if you have cancer, but you feel great? Oh, you have cancer, but you feel awesome, right? Who cares if you don't have cancer, but you feel like crap, right? It doesn't matter what the doctor said you have. Matters how you feel. You know what I'm saying? And if you follow this prognosis, this protocol of feeding the body, oxygenating the body, and eliminating toxicity, and then you add in the faith and the belief, and really all of the things we talked about earlier, the spirituality, the mental side, the thinking correct thoughts, the feeling side, the emotions, you add all of that in, no matter what your health challenge is, no matter what it is, you will feel better, and you will feel better immediately, and that should be your goal, not what your TSH is and not what your antibodies are. We've allowed the medical model to move the goalpost, to change the goal. The goal should be to feel great, to feel awesome, to feel powerful inside your body, and it doesn't matter what your TSH is, and it doesn't matter what your bone mineral density is. It doesn't matter what your antibodies are, your white blood cells, or any other of the markers that they tell you about. Have you ever – I know you've had this. You go to – patient goes to the doctor. They feel like crap, and the doctor says, I don't know, your thyroid looks fine. It looks great. Or somebody's like totally obese, you know, and they're aging rapidly, and they got fatty liver, and the doctor says, well, your blood sugar's fine. You don't have diabetes. That people tell me this all the time. Doctor said my blood sugar's normal. It's like we go by the numbers. We use the numbers as our way of assessing health because that's what the tool that they have. They can't assess health any other way, so they use numbers. It's like, you know, if you go to a restaurant, right, and you eat a hamburger, you order the hamburger, you eat a hamburger, you bite the hamburger, and you say, huh, this hamburger tastes like crap. And you call the waiter and says, this hamburger's terrible. And the waiter looks at you and goes, what do you mean? Look at the menu here. It says, delicious hamburger, right here on the menu. Best hamburger you will ever eat. What are you talking about? It tastes terrible. It's like we go by the menu, not by the food. We've allowed health to be a description. We've allowed it to be a statistical algorithm, number. You know, that. What do you, people say my blood sugar is normal or my thyroid is normal. What do they mean when they say it's normal? They mean it's normal compared to references, a reference range. Do you think anybody knows what that reference range comes from, where it comes from, how it's determined? Even the medical professionals reading it, do you think they know how it's determined? It's like they get 40 people who are like of different races and different ages. They throw them into a room, they mix them up, and they check out what their normal is. That's how they determine what normal is. Doesn't mean that you fit into that range.
Ben, I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to jump in here because I want to go back and I want to make sure in the time we have, we cover this subject of skin cancer for people because you have such great things to say. And let's do this in a simple way.
You want some practical stuff?
I want the top causes us in top. I mean, we talked about this brilliant explanation of cancer. Is there something specific that is generating the manifestation of melanomas or the different types of skin cancers? And what's the – and you're an expert with skin and healing the skin, understanding the skin. I mean, I know people who are dealing with melanomas. They're getting radiation for it now. They've had
surgery
to cut it out. What do we need to know to heal it?
Here's what you need to know. Don't complicate things. Number one, if you have melanoma, it's just melanocyte cancer as opposed to skin cancer, which is keratinocyte cancer. It's just a different cell. It happens to be the melanocyte is very electronic. So it's the most dangerous of all cancers, and cancer is largely electronic. So it's a dangerous cancer, but nonetheless, it's a cancer. So first and foremost, if you have cancer, get yourself a bunch of textbooks on cancer, what it looks like, and get a visual picture of what it is. And then use that visual picture in your imagination to imagine your body handling that cancer, to imagine the immune cells handling that cancer, to imagine the white blood cells taking care of that cancer. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a biochemical there's a biochemical process that's occurring when you have cancer, and you want to imagine that in your mind's eye from a positive sense. Imagine your body handling that cancer, but really picture what it looks like via textbooks or via YouTube or anything on the internet. Does that make sense? That's step number one, okay? Step number two is relax the body and activate the parasympathetic nervous system. And part of that is believing that you're healthy. Feel that you're healthy. Feel that life is good. Do you understand that? I know you do. But for your listeners, the sympathetic nervous system is your stress system, your parasympathetic nervous system, your relaxation system. So relax the body. Meditation is awesome, 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 awesome. Relax the body as much as possible. Not physically. Massage is great. Anything you could do to relax the body. Third of all, move the lymphatic system. The lymphatic system is your sewage system. It's where cancer is eliminated from, and lymphatic clogs and lymphatic stagnation and inflammation at the level of the lymph will keep you from healing. Move the lymph. One of the best things you could do is a rebounder, jumping up and down, moving your body, exercise. Even if you don't feel like exercising, exercise. Don't freak out, but exercise. You have energy, exercise, move the body, which is interesting because you also want to rest the body. But moving the body in short bursts, high intensity, short bursts is very helpful. Hanging upside down on an inversion device can be helpful. Hot and cold plunges can be helpful. Dry brushing can be helpful. Lymphatic drainage can be helpful. And then lymphatic massage can be helpful. And you can do your own lymphatic massage, by the way. You know what I'm talking about? Work your way up to the lymphatic center in the top of your chest. in your neck area, and just work your way up and just do lymphatic massage or have somebody else do lymphatic massage for you if you like. And massage in general is great. Activate all the senses in your skin through massage. Then also for moving the lymph and also for improving respiration is breathe, 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 breathe. And don't think you know how to breathe, and don't assume that the way you think you should breathe is the way you should breathe. Many people think they're doing breathing correctly. You know, they decide they're going to breathe or practice breathing, they breathe wrong. You got to exhale more than you inhale. You've got to exhale more than you inhale, and you probably know about circular breathing because that's part of rebirthing, and that's a great way to breathe. You could do 4-4-4, the Wim Hof thing, the square thing, but breathe, oxygenate, and picture energy coming into your body. They call it prana. You probably heard that term. Energy coming into your body, and then exhale, and do a lot. And then eliminate toxicity, especially sugar, ketogenic diet, low calorie. Calories are not your friend, by the way. Calories, low calorie optimum nutrition, or calorie restriction optimum nutrition, the Cron diet. The less you eat, the longer you live, the less calories you put in your body, the more nutritional resources you'll have to fight cancer. So eat less food, but get more nutrition. Do soups, juices, eggs, algae, seaweeds, concentrated foods, foods that have concentrated nutrients that are easy for the body to access. Liquids, I would do IV. Personally, if I had cancer, God forbid, I would do IV, intravenous, especially vitamin C, which is unspeakably valuable, especially intravenous. But not just, you don't want to focus on just one. Make sure you're getting the entire spectrum of nutrients, especially fats. Cancer starts off as a membrane issue, a cell membrane issue, which is largely composed of fats. So make sure you're doing your essential fatty acids, which are like fat vitamins, and then make sure you're staying as far away as you can from processed fats. In fact, if you had to pick the one single reason why we've gotten sick from a physiologic perspective, the one single reason why I've gotten so sick in the last 100 years in the United States and probably around the world, it's the wrong kinds of fats. As soon as we figured out how to process fats, and the wrong kinds of fats are as bad for the body as the right kinds of fats are good. Ketogenic diet, which is a high-fat diet, relatively low-calorie but high-fat, is an ideal anti-cancer diet.
What about topically? What would be
topically,
a good thing to
vitamin,
help to support?
For skin cancer? Well, once you have cancer, you're not going to topically handle it, but you can handle pre-cancer, which is called actinic keratosis, and you do want to handle that. And that's basal and squamous cell carcinoma. That's not melanoma is not exactly a skin cancer. It's a melanocyte cancer, and you can have melanoma inside your body. You can have melanoma where the sun don't shine. So you don't want to look at melanoma like a skin issue, and so you're not going to really be able to address it topically, but you can address basal cell and squamous cell with retinoic acid, retinol, topical vitamin C. And topical vitamin C, and this is one of the things that we do at Truth, is I formulate only with topical vitamin C in its fatty form, fat-soluble vitamin C. Don't be fooled by water-soluble vitamin C. That is a scam. Water-soluble vitamin C goes by the name ascorbic acid, and companies are well invested in ascorbic acid, and they will tell you all kinds of stories about ascorbic acid, but that's not the good stuff. The good stuff is fat-soluble vitamin C, and you can go to my website, truthtreatments.com, and you can see all about it.
Wow, that's good information. So,
and here's
so
the last thing I'll
tell you.
Let me tell you one last.
Okay.
Yeah, one last thing.
Okay, go ahead.
If you want to guarantee that you always have dry skin for the rest of your life, use a moisturizer. Use of a moisturizer guarantees that your skin will stay dry. And this is why we sell more moisturizers around the world than any other type of skincare product. And simultaneously, almost everybody on the planet has dry skin.
Okay, so what keeps our skin moist and healthy then, if it's not moisturizer?
That's a great question. So internally, fats,
right.
Especially essential fatty acids and vitamin A. Those are your two superstar fats for the skin, but all the nutrients. I hate isolating nutrients, but all the nutrients. And then topically, fat-soluble vitamin C, retinol, and regular exfoliation. Exfoliation is anti-moisturization. Moisturization is putting a bunch of stuff on your skin. Exfoliation is getting rid of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of stuff, you know what I'm saying, getting rid of skin cells. When skin cells come off of the skin, that turns everything on underneath, including moisture. there's moisture factors in the skin that function as molecular sponges that trap water. They hold on to water. You literally have – this is so amazing. In the skin, you have molecular sponges that attract water, either from the downside in terms of from the dermis, from the lower levels of the skin, from the blood eventually, or from the top, from the ambient humidity. These sponges are down-regulated. They're suppressed. The production of them are suppressed when you put a moisturizer on. They're up-regulated. They're stimulated. You get more of them by exfoliation. So exfoliating on a regular basis. I like retinol because it gives you vitamin A and exfoliation. And then topical vitamin C.
Does One question. Does retinol have to be prescribed?
No. Retinoic acid is 100 times stronger, and that has to be prescribed.
Uh-huh.
But retinol does not have to be.
But retinol.
Yeah. Okay. You go to truthtreatments.com, and you can learn all you want about retinol. And by the way, I have a distributor in Australia that's coming into – I think we just finished signing the document. So you can get all my treatments in Australia now through my distributor.
Okay.
And then
wonderful.
And I love retinol. I've been working with retinol since the 90s when I was in pharmacy school. Mm-hmm. This combination of exfoliation plus vitamin C, it gives you – it stimulates new cell division and then the secretions from cells, which include those moisture factors. And – that's the exfoliation. And it turns on the production of connective tissue and moisture factors. And here's another little trick, interesting tidbit.
We only have a minute, Ben.
Water is trapped in connective tissue in the skin. When your skin is dehydrated, it will look thin and it will be dry, at least partially because of a breakdown in connective tissue. And this breakdown of connective tissue is like osteoporosis or arthritis of the skin. And it's where our wrinkles come from. It's where our dry skin comes from. It's where our thinning skin comes from. And it's a lot of where most of the stuff we hate about our skin aging comes from. So build that connective tissue. And vitamin C is the key element for building connective tissue.
Well, this is we really have to wrap it up, but it's been such an enlightening show. We'll probably have to get you back, and we can focus exactly on the skin story because
there's so much. I digress.
There's so much, and it's we don't really get the truthful information. So if people want to know more about you and your products, go to your website, truthtreatments.com. It sounds like it's the go-to place to go, in all honesty, Ben, because this is your passion and you've been developing and researching and providing truthful solutions for a long time. And I want to just say on behalf of everyone, we're so grateful for your passion, commitment, and to really find the true solutions. So thanks so much for all the work you've been doing.
Yeah.
And
we will
have you back and we can talk some more. And we've come to the end of this fascinating show. A lot to chew on here, folks, so maybe listen again. Take it all in. It's quite profound. And until next time, join me on What Women Must Know. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.